This is the feast of the Immaculate Conception. It was so hard for the church to get how Mary could be sinless and still need redemption. Now, from the earliest days, there was no doubt that she was sinless. You have John Damascene, you have even earlier ones. You know, regarding Mary, there is no talk of sin. But nobody worked it out. So everybody was, well, we can't. And then Duns Scotus came along and applied, now that it's been said, a rather simple principle. Where did Moses get his grace from? Where did Jeremiah get his grace from? The anticipated merits of Jesus Christ. So where did Mary get her conception from? The anticipated merits of Jesus Christ. That was in the 13th century. It took six more centuries for the church to ponder that before it was declared a dogma in 1845. Now, there are certain secrets here. One is the power of sinlessness. And this is directed to all of us. We are not sinless. But if we will eliminate sin in our life, we will have power, spiritual power, to resist Satan, to drive him away, to rescue people from his power, to know what to do, to bring them out of his power, to deliver them when they're beset, to exorcise them when they're possessed, but just to protect them as they walk down the street. The more sinless we are, the more inner power we have. That's just a fact. And you know that. If you've ever been around any really holy person, they have power. They say something, you say, okay, sure. I mean, they have power. And the power comes from sinlessness. That's Mary's power. That's why I told you this before. I had this when I was in a coma. I had this experience of darkness. And Mary came. It was terrible what I was experiencing. And Mary came. And it was like somebody turned on the light. There was just no more darkness. That's power. She's the queen of the universe because she's sinless. There's no weakness, it ever has been in her. Any place where Satan could get at her, ever. Can you imagine how he hated her? He knew. You know, if we can kind of half figure out where somebody's at, what about the greatest created intellect in the world? That's probably him. You know? He knew something was up. And when she conceived virginally, he was sure of it. Tempter. But it was like trying to light a wet match. I mean, there was nothing you could do. You couldn't, you know, she's light. Now, there were reasons for that. One was so that she would be a mother. Every instinct, every image, every emotion of Jesus, as with all of us, is formed primarily from the mother. If the mother is sinless, there's going to be nothing wrong, ever, with the way she relates. The Son of God didn't, otherwise God, the Father, would have to protect him every split second. Because the rest of us, there's fallout, right? Well, there's no fallout in Mary. And so he could grow up perfectly normal, like the children of Adam and Eve, but of course greater because he's God incarnate. And so, but the other was so that at the cross there would be that person standing there sharing his cross. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. Sharing that sharing. And you know, yeah, all our little suffering the Lord takes and uses to help people, you know. But suppose we were immaculate. Suppose we loved God with an incredible spiritual purity and then stood there beside the cross and absorbed all that suffering in a unique way because she's his mother. And a woman, seeing her son suffer, absorbs in a very particular way. And then they are Adam and Eve all over again. And so there too, in that relationship, you see, so that the purity of her union with Jesus, you see, is part of God's plan. Part of God's plan. All that purity is derivative from Christ's purity, but it's there. And it's powerful. It still is. You see, that's kind of things we celebrate with this feast. And you just heard, we went a little bit over the... I have one more thing I want to say, and I got to say it quickly. But the mess in the first reading, Genesis. You read it, and you know it. Read it. Who told you you were naked? Can it be that you've eaten of the tree from which I told you not to eat? It's no mystical apple. It's a personal disobedience. I told you. And it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means you do what you want and you say whether it's good or evil. That's abortion. That's sin. Ultimately, it has only power to destroy. And its power is so much less than that of this woman, conceived immaculately, living immaculately, joined to her son, standing there, sharing his passion. That's Adam and Eve. When Jesus says to her in Cana, what is that to you and me, woman? Why woman? No Semitic man would ever call his mother woman. Gini, woman. That's Eve, isn't it? Woman, she shall be called woman. So he's saying to her, has not my hour already come? We're not just mother and son anymore. We are Adam and Eve. We are the founders of a new race. So get ready. And that's why she said, whatever he tells you, do it. And John says, in that act, he revealed his glory. And the disciples believed in him. Believed in him. The first time there was that kind of belief in this world. And it was a pretty, you know, anemic belief. But it grew. They almost, every one of them died a martyr. And so you see, if we want power, I mean, real power, spiritual power, we'll just have to be sinless. Or as close as we can get. The Holy Spirit dwells in us like a raging fire. He will make us sinless as far as he can. And then there would be power in the church. The weakness of the church comes from sin.